dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Doug and Danny Show. Polar plunge! Let's go! Polar plunge! Let's do it! One time! Everybody! We're going streaking! That polar plunge!
I think the polar plunge, though, you'd have to crack through about the 3 feet of ice that are probably covering every...
Don't say crack. All right.
Well, sorry.
Don't say crack.
But Tony's not here, so...
888-455-ESPN. We anticipate, as you can... You know what? Is it coincidence? The sun is actually shining here in Kearney. That has nothing to do with the temperature. But obviously, Daddy is on a plane and has released the sun to North America once again. So we anticipate his return. What a way to come back. Sometime today, we anticipate he will be on the program tomorrow. We'll see how that all plays out. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That is the phone number. We're going to give you a chance over the next week here to win some tickets to the River City Hunting and Fishing Expo that's always going on this time of year. And it's in the fine Mid-America Center in Council Bluffs. We always get some pretty good response with these family passes, and we'll give you a chance to win that going on January 15th through the 17th. It's a week away, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Of course, Friday evening, Saturday the big day, and then Sunday from 10 to 4. These are $8 tickets for adults and 15 and under 3, but these are VIP passes to get one adult in. So we're going to give you some family four-packs over the next week. Be listening for that. Also on the show today, Jason Boyd scheduled to join us, Kearney High girls basketball coach. Hopefully that's still on with the late start today. We hope to have him on. Also Joe DeMail, fantasyplayersedge.com, to wrap up our fantasy season as we head into the NFL playoffs and put a cap on the year. Also, we'll talk a little bit about getting ready for next year. When we left Joe last week, I said, see what we can do talking about on the show today. Make a couple of mental notes if you're into fantasy football every year that you don't fall into a trap at the beginning of next year that, hey, this guy's better than he actually was, or just because somebody was hot here in the last 3 weeks, will a Jamal Charles, will he be way up the board and overrated next year? So you can make a couple of notes because you know, you geeks like me, you will pull those out when August rolls around for your draft. And you go, oh, yeah, okay, even though the magazine has him 3, I don't want this guy. So we'll talk with Joe about that. And Sean Kelly, Hastings College wrestling coach, will join us here in about 15 minutes as well. They'll be home this weekend. They've got their quality open Hastings invite coming up on Saturday. So that's all coming up. Looks like we've got some emails rolling in as well. We'll get to those. But the biggest story, I think, outside of the national championship game.
Gilbert Arenas?
No. The biggest story on a state level is what could possibly be happening with the Nebraska volleyball team. And if you are a volleyball fan, you already know what we're talking about. If you're a casual Nebraska volleyball fan, you may not know what we're talking about. But it appears there are problems at UCLA, and there may be a mass exodus of players from a 24-9 team. The top freshman in the country, voted that way by the Coaches Association, is John Cook's daughter, Lauren Cook, who was a national player of the year type of player, the freshman of the year at UCLA. She is apparently leaving UCLA and could be playing at Nebraska as soon as this fall. Now, according to Todd Hendricks in the Lincoln Journal Star, there are no comments from UCLA staff members about what's going on, but maybe Lauren is leaving to change a major or something like that. Well, whatever. Okay. It's whatever. I'm not buying it. We'll see. But with John Cook being the volleyball coach slash a parent, He can't talk as a parent. He will always be monitored by the NCAA. And so Monday, classes start at the University of Nebraska. And if she is enrolled on Monday, then Coach Cook can talk about his own daughter and what she might be doing. But nobody could talk. Classes did resume this Monday at UCLA. And two other UCLA players, including second-team All-American Amanda Gill, are rumored to have left the team. So the UCLA coach for 43 years, Andy Banikowski, not available for comment. So we'll see what happens with the volleyball program. 888-455-ESPN. The Huskers have Sydney Anderson returning, an All-American setter. And they have signed one of the top high school senior setters in Kristen Kelsey from Wheaton, Illinois, Bridget Root of Grand Island, a walk-on. So they've already got three setters on staff, and Lauren would come in as a number four. It would be interesting. I would think maybe she would just set out and wait for Sydney Anderson to move on, or if something unfortunate would happen, you've got her. But it'd be very, very strange. If UCLA releases her from her scholarship, she could play for Nebraska this fall. If they do not release her from her scholarship, then she would have to set out a year and not be eligible until the 2011 season. So we'll see what happens. But I think that's kind of a big, big story as we get ready to finish off the football season tonight. Your thoughts on that or anything else that's going on in the world of sports, you can email us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And 24 hours from now, maybe 24 and a half, sometime on the show tomorrow, we will be giving away two quality Lazy Boy recliners from Bruce Furniture to our 2009/10 Pigskin Pick'em winner, either Justin Kelly of Kearney or Wes Harmony of Amherst. Wes has come strong. They both had Central Michigan last night, and they both have Texas tonight. They are tied. It comes down to the tiebreaker. And the only way that Wes got back in this, he had Boise State, Justin had TCU, Wes had Iowa, and Justin had Georgia Tech. And so they are all tied up through 25 of the 26 bowl games. They are both 16-9 after picking Central Michigan last night. So it all comes down to tonight's championship game for two Lazy Boy recliners from Bruce Furniture. So best of luck to Justin. Best of luck to Wes. We'll see what happens. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Also, we've got some folks, already got an email here from Mark and Minden for Joe DeMeo. He's talking about his keeper league. That's also something we can bring up. Who do you want to get rid of? Who do you want to keep? Who do you want to trade at this time of the year? So, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. Let's see. Oh, boy. Frank the Tank has fired in. He says,
Frank the Tank,
we're going streaking at the quad? I'm in, but it sure is cold out there. This could result in some serious shrink. Yeah, thanks, Frank.
Serious. And you know, Rhett, serious.
You and Kay's not back in classes yet, so you might be able to get away with it.
Streak through an empty campus over there?
That's right. The problem is, if you were going to actually streak through the main portion, I mean, it's not like you could pull up in your car naked, run a half a block down and back, because you'd just be on the edge of campus and everybody on the roads would see you. I mean, you got to get back up in there.
Oh, yeah, you got to run from, like, Highway 30 up to the dorms or something. Straight on through, right past the fountain. Right on through.
Here's something that you are perturbed about. Announced this morning, and again, is it hype? Is it just Bob Arum loving to have his name on SportsCenter all the time? But now the Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather boxing match apparently is off, totally off for right now. Aaron and Carney says, Derek, as he is our boxing guru, why do the boxing gods toy with us like this? The Mayweather Pacquiao fight off? These two guys are two of the best pound-for-pound fighters my generation will ever see. It's the fight every boxing fan has waited for, and now they call it off? No good. And we'll go back to another statement here from Aaron on football in a moment. But this is just flat-out money. Are they idiots?
Yeah, it's and really, there's a lot of speculation going on here. And the big point that both of the parties cannot agree on is blood testing. Mayweather, Team Mayweather, wants Manny Pacquiao to undergo random blood testing leading up to the fight, which is not the norm in boxing. In boxing, they take urine tests leading up to the fight.
They've backed down from that.
They have backed down on one of the stipulations of when the random blood testing would be. They still want blood testing, which is not the norm in boxing, and Manny Pacquiao doesn't want to have his blood taken more than 2 weeks before the fight, and Floyd does. It's a sticking point, and it's kind of a weird point. It's a weird thing for the Mayweathers to even bring up. Manny Pacquiao has never tested positive for any performance-enhancing drug, any kind of steroid, so for them to bring this up, it almost looks like Mayweather is looking for an out of this fight to protect his undefeated record against what looks to be a guy who could take that undefeated record right away from him. But it's just a really, really weird deal. The teams they brought in a mediator earlier this week. Obviously, that didn't work. The fight's now back off. But like you said, Doug, who knows? It could be hype. This could be a thing where they're trying to get people to buy the pay-per-view coming up on March 13th. But we'll see. As of now, I kind of delved in and looked a little deeper into this, and it does look like the fight is off.
Okay, and to further divulge your boxing geekness, you are like a moderator on a boxing MMA chat board, right?
Yes. Well, not a moderator, but a poster, yes. Not MMA, just boxing. I don't do MMAs. Not as good as boxing.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm a freak. You know, NBA, boxing, NHL, all the stuff you guys don't care
about. But this is almost a guaranteed two-fight contract, isn't it? I mean, no matter who wins this, they're going to want to see a rematch.
Most likely, and people are saying it would break the all-time pay-per-view buys, which was an Oscar De La Hoya fight that sold 2.44 million pay-per-view buys, and they're saying this would crack that easily.
How about not putting it on pay-per-view?
Wow. But you know Floyd. They call him Floyd Money Mayweather for that reason. He loves the money.
Why is he worried about his undefeated streak then?
Well, a lot of people have said that Mayweather, if you look at a lot of his past opponents, they say he's cherry-picking opponents. They're saying he's facing opponents that are naturally smaller than him, naturally not as fast as him. Basically, he's picking opponents that he can get easy wins over on pay-per-view, make the money, and protect his undefeated record. A lot of the Mayweather fans say that, Pacquiao he's on drugs and he doesn't want to take these blood tests because he's got something to hide. Well, it's the United States of America. You're innocent until you're proven guilty. He's never failed a drug test, so I'm looking at Mayweather trying to duck the fight.
So that's the story this morning with the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. Very rarely do the random or the outside. I don't follow boxing, but if there's a great boxing match, I'll watch it. If there's going to be a great fight, I like to see it. And there are very, very few of those in our generation anymore. And it used to just be in the heavyweights. It's not the case anymore. So I guess we'll have to see if the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight happens at all.
Yeah, just one more note. The heavyweight division, terrible. Terrible right now. If you want to watch boxing, do not watch the heavyweights because they won't do boxing justice. Watch anywhere between 135 up to about 160, 168. Right in there, about lightweights up to the super middleweights. Those are great, great classes right now.
So Derek's little take on, not little take, rant probably on Pacquiao.
Yeah, you got me going.
Well, your pulse is up, and the pulse of Nebraska volleyball might be beating a little quicker today. Todd Henricks from the Lincoln Journal Star, he is the beat writer for Nebraska volleyball, and he has been so gracious to give us a couple of minutes of his time this morning with kind of a breaking story over the last 24, 48 hours when volleyball isn't really in the mainstream. Todd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing good. How long had you known about this? And again, we talked about it as the big story right off the top of the show. Lauren Cook looks like she's leaving UCLA. When did you first catch wind of this?
Well, I think this all really came down over about a 48-hour period, starting Monday. From what I have learned, UCLA started classes on Monday. Lauren Cook was there for the start of classes on Monday. She went through meetings with the coaching staff and I would presume some academic advisors or folks in that area. And was hoping for some resolution to what it appears is an academic-related situation. Now, I don't know all the details, but it's my gut feeling that there were some promises made in regard to the academic major that Lauren wanted to pursue that weren't followed through on by UCLA folks, and that led to her sudden departure. And by noon yesterday, she had told the UCLA staff that she was out and was on her way back to Lincoln.
That all sounds good, but being the way that we are, do you believe that story? Do you believe it's strictly academic-related? I mean, that seems like a snap decision.
Well, I don't think you can say any decision is based 100% on one thing. I think that there were some other things involved. But I do think that was the crux of the matter. Now, does it affect your decision when you learn that another of your teammates, a sophomore who was a second-team All-American this year, had come in Monday and told UCLA she was leaving? Maybe that does add into the equation. Does it affect you in that you've been home for a month and, you know, been through a lot of snow and maybe decided you like the snow? I don't know. I don't
Crazy
imagine
kid.
Anybody could do that. But, you know, does homesickness come into it? I don't know. Maybe it does. I don't know Lauren exceptionally well, but I know her pretty well, and she doesn't seem like the type who would be affected by homesickness. But I think we see it with every freshman to some degree, and that may have played a role too.
So Monday, when classes start in Lincoln, you expect her to be a Husker?
Oh, I have no doubt. She will be a Husker on Monday.
Todd, for those that only kind of follow football and are pretty good about knowing what happens, transfer up and down, explain why she might be able to play as soon as this fall.
Volleyball at this point, and I have got to believe this rule is going to change soon because of the number of transfers that you're seeing now in volleyball. But volleyball right now is a sport where you can transfer freely one time, so long as you get released from your scholarship from your first institution. So if UCLA signs off and releases her from her scholarship, which you may think in this case would not happen, but it is fairly accepted practice among the volleyball coaches that they will grant releases. She could play right away at Nebraska. If for some reason UCLA doesn't release her from her scholarship, then she would have to sit out next season, which would make her which she could use as her redshirt year, and she would still have 3 years to play after that.
Well, Sydney Anderson, as we said earlier, and as you have in your column, is coming in. They're bringing in one of the top high school setters in the country in Kristen Kelsey. What would Lauren Cook's role be with this team?
Well, I think, you know, John Cook has alluded many times, and John Cook isn't a believer in a two-setter system. If he can have three attackers along the front row in every rotation, he believes that's the way to go. And Lauren Cook, although she played as a full-time setter at UCLA, is a made-to-order setter for a two-setter system. She's only, you know, I don't know what they list her as. I'm going to say she's 5'7". She's not very big. And certainly I don't ever see a Nebraska team playing with a setter that size in the front row. So she would be a made-to-order setter in a two-setter system. That's how she'll be used here. Now the question is, does Nebraska, if she's eligible this fall, does Nebraska go to that right away? And how does Sydney Anderson react to that possibility? I think there is a tremendous question about the dynamics of this addition to the roster. I'm already rolling a column through my head that I'm going to write for tomorrow's paper that'll touch a little bit on the dynamic that I observed just this year when Lauren was playing for UCLA and they came here to play Nebraska. I will tell you that Nebraska's players freaked out a little bit over that situation. Now, the next question is, how are those same players going to react with Lauren Cook in their own locker room? I don't know. I think that is of incredible interest to me as I think about the possibilities for the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, it's an incredible story. She was the first ever National Freshman of the Year from UCLA, who you think as of one of the greatest programs in volleyball history, and now it looks like she's going to play for her father and play for a storied program in Nebraska. So Todd will continue to follow it in the Lincoln Journal Star and on the website, and we appreciate you giving us a couple of minutes this morning. Thanks so much.
Great. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Take care. Todd Hendricks, Lincoln Journal Star, covering the Lauren Cook transfer, it looks like, leaving UCLA and coming to Lincoln to play at Nebraska. Just, I don't even know where this would stack up. I mean, folks, this is a big time deal. This is a big time deal for Nebraska volleyball. I don't even know how you could compare it to football. This wouldn't even be on the on the Greg Paulus quarterback situation from last summer to the football team. This is so much bigger. I don't know. It'd have been like Tebow coming after his freshman year at Florida. I mean, it's your freshman of the year. That's just the way it is. We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll switch our attention to wrestling for a couple of minutes, talk with Hastings College head coach Sean Kelly, and we'll do that right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Here it comes again, 33 years of the amazing Camper and Boat Show, all under the roof at Grand Island's Fauner Park and Harlan Expo Center. When? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 8, 9, and 10. You'll see all new campers, boats, and this year for the first time, pickups. The area's leading RV dealers, Eagle Crest, Rich & Sons, Dykeman's Camper Place, welcome all to one of Nebraska's premier shows, the huge RV Boat and Pickup Expo, Fauner Park, Grand Island, January 8, 9, and 10.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fauner Park.
Thoroughbred racing, fantastic food, full bar, live draw keno, bowl games. Where else but Fauner Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Coast to Coast Racing, 11:25 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. daily. 15 top tracks, including Santa Anita, Aqueduct, and Gulfstream. Watch the Texas-Alabama BCS National Championship game on big screens at Fauner Finish Line, Central Nebraska's number one entertainment center.
Here's the Crossroads Ford Bargains of the Week, a 1997 Ford F-150 Super Cab, a two-wheel drive with XLT trim, just $6,900. How about a 2003 Chevy 1500 regular cab 4x4? It's a Z71, just $12,009. We now have four 2007 Ford F-150 Crew Cab 4x4 XLTs in stock. Take your pick, just $25,009. We are dealing and we need trades. Stop in and see us today. That's Crossroads Ford, Kearney.
Crossroads Ford, Lincoln Mercury.
You can go anywhere in the world from Kearney Regional Airport. When you hop to Denver via convenient commuter flights, you can skip the long drive, big parking fees, and maybe even an overnight stay, and fly anywhere you want to go from Denver, one of the most connected airports in the world. Visit www.flykearney.com for more information. Hop, skip, fly. It all starts at the Kearney Regional Airport.
ESPN Radio. The City BCS National Championship. Alabama, Texas.
And touchdown!
Both sit at 13-0, ranked number one and number two in the country. And now go head-to-head for the first time in nearly 30 years.
The pressure, he sacked, he lost the football!
Texas and Alabama for the National Championship, Thursday at 7 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A winter weather advisory remains in effect early on yet today. A wind chill warning is in effect throughout the afternoon. That We'll see a mix of clouds and sun with areas of blowing snow through the day. Temperatures will stay steady around zero with northwest winds 15 to 30. I'm Paul Trombley.
Right now, two below.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, yeah. Any chance to get a little Dino on the show? Nice. How's that go again, Dino, huh?
Simply must go.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Okay. The answer is no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
God, tell me about it, people. Frigid. Stay warm, folks. A lot of the ball games called off tonight, including the Kearney Catholic Wood River game that we were to air on 98.9 KKPR. That was the only game on our network of stations. Amherst, Eustis, Farnham, they've moved to January 14th. We'll check our list and try and get that updated by the end of the show. But pretty much safe to say if there was no school, they're not playing, and a few of the schools did have late starts today. Many of them did not have school at all. We've got a lot of emails to get to. We've got a lot of things to talk about, and we got coming up on the show. I wanted to remind folks that coming up, Jason Boyd, we'll talk a little Kearney High basketball. They hit the road tomorrow. They're off to a good start in the top 10. Joe DeMeo joins us. And if you missed any part of the Husker Roundtable yesterday, don't forget to go to our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. Just click on that link, and you can listen to any podcast way, way back. And yesterday, of course, Steve Sipple, Mitch Sherman, and Mike Babcock were part of the Husker Roundtable. UNK coach Mark Bauer was on talking about the Cliff Keene National Duels. And today, joining us to talk about what's going on in Hastings this weekend is Broncos head coach Sean Kelly on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
How are we doing today?
Well, we're doing good. Tell you what, it's even cold inside this time of year to do a little wrestling. Wrestlers were used to seeing put on all the warm weather gear they can and get to weight that they need to, but it's even hard to do that in this type of weather. Does weather like this ever affect even an inside sport that you guys try to train for?
Not really. I guess, you know, from the standpoint of getting them out of their dorm rooms and getting them to the gym is the biggest issue. Once we get in the gym, it's still, like you said, cold inside, but we seem to get our work done still.
Let's before we talk about what's going on this weekend, let's talk about where you've been so far. First month of the season is in the books. You've had one meet since you came back this past Saturday. Tell me where the team is right now.
We're well ahead of where we've been at this time the last couple of years. We finally got some experience in the room, and the last two tournaments we've wrestled really well. It's the same thing, just different year. Same guys are stepping up week in, week out to wrestle well. We've had the same two guys place in the last two tournaments. And in years past, if we had a guy place in some of these tournaments, we're pretty happy. So having two guys place as high as they've been placing has been a pretty good sign for us this last two, three tournaments. Like I said, we've been finally putting some good matches together week in, week out, rather than just here and there.
You have four wrestlers that have qualified for the Nationals already, but only three of those, it sounds like, are going to have a chance. You've already been bitten a little bit by the injury bug.
Yeah, we have. Brandon Hudeberg hasn't had the best of luck with his body the last couple of years. Last year he went limping into Nationals with a bad ankle, and he still made a go of it, went 1-2 at Nationals with one leg, basically. And, this year, early in the year, had shoulder problems, had surgery done on it. Looks like he's going to be sidelined for at least 6 months before we can see him back on the mat. So hopefully we can get that year back. We shouldn't have a problem getting the year back, so we'll still have him for two after this year. But the three guys that we got going to Nationals, I always tell the guys if they qualify early in the year, there's a real good chance they'll be contending for an All-American status with the tournaments that we go to.
I've been following a little bit. I see the name of Mr. Rush quite a bit. Tell me a little bit about how he's progressing and how his year has been.
He started the year off at the bang, winning the first tournament that we went to. Last couple of years, he's a kid that placed in every tournament that we went to at some point in his career. And he's just a solid wrestler, not real flashy. He wins a lot of close matches, 3-4 point matches, but he does it in a dominating fashion. He's such a good defensive wrestler that guys can't get in on him, and he just looks for opportunities to score. He's a smart wrestler. He's a 4.0 student, so when he goes out on the mat, he's out-thinking his opponent more than he's out-wrestling him.
Let's talk about this weekend's competition. When you have your open on Saturday, you usually are able to get one of the teams in for a duel either Thursday or Friday night. Baker University is that team. Let's start there. What are you expecting?
They're young. They're a first-year program, but honestly, Kansas wrestlers don't have a lot of places to wrestle in college, so they have a really deep team. Like I said, they're all freshmen, but they got one guy ranked at 74 nationally. He's 12th. We're 8th, so that should be a good matchup. We have beat him already this year. We're 1-1 with our backup 74-pounder against him, so that's a match I expect us to win. There'll be a lot of toss-up matches. You know, their freshmen are just as good as my freshmen. We'll be putting some freshmen on the mat, so it'll be a close duel. You know, there won't be a forfeit. So, you know, the team that scores the most bonus points with the matches that they win is probably going to be the team that wins the duel. It should be a close duel. You know, they have a couple transfer kids in there, just like I did in my first. They'll have a solid lineup. I'm not sure how many guys they've qualified for nationals, but we haven't seen them much this year. We've seen them in the first two tournaments, and I haven't seen them since. But you know, I know the names of the kids they got, and they're all pretty good Kansas high school wrestlers.
Hastings College wrestling coach Sean Kelly joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Then Saturday, you've got the open. Who's coming in? Who should people be looking at?
UNO, UNK, Lincoln has talked about sending their backups. You know, all three teams will be out at the national duels this weekend out in Iowa. But their backups can compete. They do every year. They send guys out, and they're tough. They'll send 8-10 guys each, so there's 30 quality guys right there. And then, you know, most of the GPAC schools will send guys. Dana will send guys, even though they're going to Iowa for the duels. But Morningside will bring their full team. Sioux Falls will bring their full team. York will be over. I think we got about 10, 11 full teams coming in, so we should be running about 180 to 200 wrestlers.
And before we let you go, we talked about Brandon, unfortunately, being banged up. We always like to hear how the kids from the area do, and you've got quite a few of them, obviously, from Nebraska. But Drew Sorensen's wrestling for you. He's a senior right here out of Kearney. How's his year going?
You know, it's going pretty good. He's actually stepped up from where he was last year. You know, being a two-time national qualifier, he's got high expectations for the way this year finishes. And, you know, he just, when we go to the tournaments that we go to first semester, he just does not get good draws. You know, he's wrestled some really good competition, and from where he's been in the past, Drew's looked really good. You know, he's bounced around weights ever since we've had him. He started at 65, and then last year we put him at 84 for the team, and he actually had a pretty good season at 84. This year he's gonna try going at 74 for a while. See, you know, the luxury of the NEI is we can take two guys at a weight. So, you know, even though we have Jamie in there, you know, having somebody like Jamie to wrestle with, Sorensen's just got better every day. So he's wrestling the best he's wrestled in 3 years right now.
Finally, before we let you get out of here, the program is starting to lose its newness. You're starting to try to get these guys into returners and into that recruiting and all that. How do you like where you're at with the program right now?
You know, we're real excited. Our recruiting class right now that we're talking to is by far the best kids that we've ever talked to. You know, the first couple years they're wondering who Hastings College was, and you know, just the being able to retain the students is something we can start selling now. You know, a lot of my first class is still around. We got 10, 11 juniors. I'm not sure exactly what we have. You know, Sorensen's been around for 3 years. My student assistant's been around for 3 years. So selling that retention to the kids is becoming a big part of our recruiting. Knowing that the kids are happy once they get here. You know, before it was just selling them a philosophy, and then once we got them here, you know, they're fairly happy. So now we can tell a recruit, yeah, you know, you come here and people like it here.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck this weekend, and we'll catch up with you again soon. Keep up the good work, and don't freeze, man.
Yeah, no joke. Feels like we're in Canada, right?
we need to be farther south. Hey, Sean, best of luck.
All right, thanks, guys.
Sean Kelly, head wrestling coach at Hastings College. Don't forget they duel Baker at home Friday and then the Quality Open coming up on Saturday. We'll take a break. Jason Boyd, head girls basketball coach at Kearney. Also coming up, Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Back after this.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a football fan? Or are you a football fan? Let me ask you another question. Do you just cheer? Or do you scream till your lungs bleed? For the first time ever, true football fans can let their voice be heard in the Van Heusen Pro Football Hall of Fame Fans Choice. Just go to jcp.com/fanschoice to voice your choice. And while you're there, check out the completely affordable Van Heusen Men's Collection. Van Heusen and JCPenney, voice your choice!
Hi, I'm Sam Fowler from Domino's Pizza, and you're about to hear real audio from a pizza focus group.
Domino's crust is like cardboard.
If you're wondering why we play such a comment, it's because it inspired us to redesign our pizza. With a garlic-seasoned hand-tossed crust, a more flavorful mozzarella cheese, and new robust sauce, we think it's our best ever.
Hey, man, where's new pizza? Seriously good.
Try Domino's inspired new pizza. Get two mediums with two toppings for just $5.99 each. Satisfaction guaranteed. Did we listen to our critics to make our best pizza ever? Oh, yes, we did.
Must purchase at least two pizzas. You must ask for this limited-time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
They were formed in Chicago as the Savoy Big Five by 5'3" player coach Abe Saperstein. But after some tinkering with the lineup and the name, this day in sports, January 7th, 1927, they made their debut as the Harlem Globetrotters. The game was played in Hinckley, Illinois against the Hinckley Merchants, whom they beat in a close one. Famous for their on-court antics, the Globetrotters were also seriously competitive in the 30s and 40s, and in 1940, they won the World Professional Championship, pro basketball's definitive event at the time. The Globetrotters start trotting this day in sports.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
A winter weather advisory remains in effect early on, yet today a wind chill warning is in effect throughout the afternoon. That we'll see a mix of clouds and sun with areas of blowing snow through the day. Temperatures will stay steady around zero with northwest winds 15 to 30. I'm Paul Trombley.
Right now, two below.
Oh, yeah, more stories breaking. Charlie Weiss, the offensive coordinator at Kansas City with the Chiefs. Romeo Crennel going there. Tony La Russa, kind of in an offhanded comment, the manager of the Cardinals, says he might put Mark McGwire on the roster if they need a pinch hitter come postseason time. I think he'd just like to have him out there for one at-bat. I don't think Mark would do it, but I think he'd like to have him out there for one at-bat because, really, him like Barry Bonds, they never were able to walk off into the sunset. Now, whatever you think about the guys, they never had that last at-bat. They never had that fan appreciation. I think McGwire
would it be appreciation?
I think McGwire would be. I think McGwire would be, and actually I think Bonds would be in San Francisco. They were the only people that didn't throw him under the bus. Well, under the bus is about the only place that's warm, right next to the exhaust right now. But if you want to warm up, and when you think layers, you need something to put over the top, and they've got it all with the ski apparel, the coats, and the stocking caps and gloves at Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. We already know they take care of all your sporting good needs. But if you're going skiing or you just want to stay warm, Red Ledge ski coats, half off. Red Ledge ski pants, on sale. Wigwam stocking caps, half off. Columbia gloves, Nike and Adidas stocking caps as well. And don't forget, you got a little Christmas cash. Well, good for you. Shoes are on sale for every member of your family, man, woman, and child. They've got it all at Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. Well, the Kearney High girls holding on to their number, their top 10 spot, going off their third consecutive GNAC Holiday Tournament Championship. And we're pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show the head coach of the Lady Cats, Jason Boyd. Coach, sorry they made you go to school today.
Yeah, well, we probably wouldn't have had practice 2 days in a row if we didn't, so it's not the worst thing in the world. We probably need to practice.
Is that flat policy at Kearney High? Because it's different for everybody. No school, no practice?
It's not flat policy. It kind of depends on, you know, sometimes the day kind of changes. They get the roads cleared out maybe by noon or so. It kind of depends on the parking lot up here at Kearney High.
Yeah, the bigger towns have more chances to find a gym anyway. So we'll talk about the competition coming up this week. Of course, tomorrow's games at Lincoln Northeast can be heard right here on ESPN 1460. But, Coach, you're a bucket away from being perfect, and actually you had the lead against Grand Island. And that withstanding, you guys have played some pretty good basketball, and the win over Lexington, real good. You're going to start seeing maybe a little bit more of the meat of your schedule here in the next 2 weeks. Your thoughts on how your team is playing, even with a 7-1 record?
Well, we're winning a lot of close games. I think we've had five of our wins are 4 or less points. So, you know, we have a lot of seniors. Eight of our top nine are seniors. So, you know, they know how to compete. They know how to win those close games. You know, so it's kind of tough. People ask, well, how good are we? You know, when you're winning close games, you know, it's hard to stay. But I just think there's so much parity right now in Class A girls basketball. And even, you know, even those Kansas teams we play, you know, Great Bend was their Class 5A number 2 preseason, state runner-up the year before. Just played some tough teams down there, and it just doesn't get any easier. It just seems like every game on our schedule, you know, the game, if we don't show up to play, you know, we definitely could lose, and even if we do show up to play, it could be a tight game. So we're definitely looking to, you know, we got to go game at a time.
Well, the latest game that you played was just a nail biter all the way. New Year's Eve, 68-64, double overtime over Lexington. The Mandelco girl just has an outstanding performance, yet you guys are able to pick up the win. I guess one of the things you can say is, for the most part, you found a way to win these close games.
Right, and that's what I said. With the experience that we have, I think they understand how to win close games, how to compete, especially down the stretch late in the game. You know, our issue sometimes is we don't. It's hard for us to get post-ups inside and score. We're really small, so late in the game, it is kind of tough to find a way to get the ball inside and get to the line and that sort of thing. So we're trying to do it through, you know, clear outs, screen on ball, clear outs, and then, you know, mainly with Nicole. I mean, late in that game, she kind of took over in the fourth quarter and in overtime. Just so we can get some easy baskets in a tight game down the stretch.
Jason Boyd, head girls basketball coach at Kearney High, joins us here for another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. You mentioned Nicole Arp. She kind of has the attention of everybody that you play. How do you think she's handling that so far?
Oh, she's doing fine. I mean, she's averaging 17.5 a game for us. You know, she's our point. We ask her to do quite a bit. Late in games, we're trying to get her to guard, you know, some of their best players a little bit more. Struggle with that early in a game, so I don't want her in foul trouble. But we're playing a lot more man this year than usual, so she is having to man up on somebody usually. But yeah, she's doing great for us, 17.5 a game, leading us in assists, and you know, just continues to do well for us.
Talk about the teams you're going to face this weekend, and you go to Lincoln Northeast tomorrow, and then Saturday, North Platte comes in, a very fine basketball team that got upset, frankly, by Columbus. I think it was that correct? Got upset in the GNAC tournament by Lexington.
By Lexington.
To make it in. So you're going to get your first crack at them.
Right. I mean, North Platte's a big, obviously, a rival of ours as well, and we see them a lot. Now we don't have that Western District anymore, but we still see them, you know, usually twice a year, because we usually play them in the conference tournament also, but we didn't this year. But, you know, they beat Bellevue East, a preseason top. I don't know how, they were top 10 for sure, beat them by 18 this year. And so them getting upset by Lexington was a bit of a surprise, but, you know, Lexington has a solid team, and anytime Haley goes off, she had 30 against them, so anytime she's scoring 30 or more, they're really tough to beat. So, yeah, North Platte's going to be tough. Lincoln Northeast also, I think they're around 500, but they, you know, they went overtime with Grand Island one game, lost to them by 7 one time. The last film I have on them, they played, you know, a lot of diamond and one, so I'm kind of thinking we might see a little bit of that. Did a little 2-3. The first film I had on their man throughout, so we're working on that, and I just got my other film on him just in the last couple days, so now we got to, that's why I kind of wanted to have a practice today, because we're going to have to start working on a little diamond and one and a little zone offense as well.
And finally, Coach, there was a pod tournament that had been put together there for a handful of years where you were guaranteed to see Papio South or one of the metro schools. Not doing that this year, but you do have three metro schools in Millard North, Bellevue East, and then the highlight is Bellevue West, the number one team in the state, comes here the first week of February. I know that's a long way away, but that also has to give the girls something to point towards, getting a chance to see how they stack up against the Omaha schools.
Well, yeah, that's really nice for us right now to have that opportunity. You know, we even talked, I was talking to the North Black coaches about, you know, they beat Bellevue West by 18, or Bellevue East by 18, and probably in past years, Bellevue East, even with four losses, would be sitting there ahead of North Platte throughout the season, even with North Platte with a loss or two in the rankings. And so it's kind of interesting to have us be able to play some of those teams and kind of show them that, you know, we can play basketball here as well. And Grand Island showing that. Grand Island beat Lincoln Southeast by 21 a couple weeks ago. So, you know, Grand Island showing they could play with some of those teams as well.
Well, Jason, we'll let you get back to class. I appreciate you taking some time out and joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. And hopefully everything works out and we'll get to see you tomorrow night in Lincoln.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Jason Boyd, head girls basketball coach at Kearney High. Got some emails to get to, and we're anticipating Joe DeMeo joining us from FantasyPlayersEdge.com in a moment. We'll take a break and be back.
Hey, man in a car driving home. Dinner, what are you going to have? One of those frozen diet things your wife bought? Those are nice, if you eat 12. How about Campbell's Chunky Sirloin Burger with Country Vegetable Soup? Always filling and delicious, and now better for you, because now it's made with all lean meat. Plus, it's got a full serving of vegetables. Picture it, the juicy burgers, the tender veggies. Come on, hurry home! At the posted speed limit, of course. Campbell's Chunky Soup, satisfying and nutritious.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 50% off our already low prices on all Christmas decorations, which means next Christmas will be bigger and merrier than ever before. And you might want to make a pass by the storage totes, because with savings like this, you're going to need one, or five. Get 50% off all Christmas decorations, but hurry, when they're gone, they're gone. More saving, more doing, that's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only while supplies last, see store for details.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Hogan's has it in downtown Kearney. We want to get rid of it. That's right. We need to make room for new spring items, and that means huge savings in every department. From now through January 18th, you'll save 25% off every pair of shoes in the store. All apparel will be discounted from 20 to 40%, and you'll save 20% on bags, socks, hats, and accessories. All baseball and softball gloves will be at 15% off. So come save and celebrate our anniversary sale at Hogan's Sporting Goods, 2412 Central Avenue, Kearney.
A winter weather advisory remains in effect early on, yet today a wind chill warning is in effect throughout the afternoon. Then we'll see a mix of clouds and sun with areas of blowing snow through the day. Temperatures will stay steady around zero, with northwest winds 15 to 30. I'm Paul Trombley.
Right now, 2 below.
Going to have a little fun with Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com in just a minute here. Plaxico Burress, they're not going to let him out of prison just yet. He had applied for work release. It's been denied. Burress made the application just a few months into his two-year sentence. Prosecutors said it would be too soon to give the former Super Bowl star a break. He has a month to appeal the decision. He can also reapply for work release in July. When this whole story broke, I remember they said that less than 5% of all inmates get work release, period, and there's no way that he's going to get it real early on.
I want to know where he'd go to work. That's what I want to know. Are you going to go down the street to the
anywhere
local
to get
fast
out,
food restaurant or something?
Anywhere to get out of prison. Anywhere to get out of prison. Hey, a couple of emails I want to get to. Then we'll get to Joe and some emails there as well. If you've got one, don't forget to send it off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Rich and Carney sent us one overnight, said, why was Zach Lee's injury kept secret anyway? I mean, opposing coaches could clearly see his tendencies and limitations on the field, so why did the secrecy, what did the secrecy accomplish? Rich and Carney, I don't know. He said he didn't want it to be a distraction as much as throwing it into the fifth row. And does Bo Pelini share his bonus money with his assistant coaches like T.O. used to do? Just wondering. I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm sure he probably does a little bit. And by the way, also a story that all of the assistant coaches, like Carl Pelini, is supposed to be getting an 80% raise, reported in the Lincoln Journal Star. Then the university athletic department said that's not the case. Well, if you read between the lines there and look at the gray area, none of the contract extensions take effect until January 31st. So when it all comes out, I'm pretty sure that Carl Pelini is getting that 80% raise. And why shouldn't he? His brother will still be making nearly seven times as much as he is as the head coach. Let's go to fantasyplayersedge.com. And, you know, it's kind of a sad time because it'll be like spring break. After today, we're wrapping up our season of fantasy football talk and fantasy baseball talk that started last spring with Joe DeMeo of fantasyplayersedge.com, and hopefully we'll get to do it again in the near future. But, Joe, Happy New Year. Hope everything is safe and sound where you are, because it's, I want you to know, 32 below wind chill right here in Kearney, Nebraska.
Well, let me tell you, it's 50 degrees in Tampa, Florida, and that's the equivalent of 60. -60 in wind chill here in Tampa. That's what it feels like.
I was going to say, we saw the Orange Bowl and all the Iowa fans were, or the Iowa fans weren't, but the Miami fans, Georgia Tech fans, crying about how cold it was. So there you go. Well, let's get into a few things here on the email, a few questions. We mentioned last week we wanted to get your thoughts on who was hot and who really was not, to, so that you can write that note down right now and put it wherever you put your fantasy stuff. I'll admit it, I still got like the last 3 or 4 years of magazines stored somewhere in the house. But you put it somewhere that when August rolls around and you go out for your draft, you don't buy into some summer hype or some other hype, and you go, oh yeah, you know, everybody thinks this guy, Matt Forte, is the number 3 pick, but I don't think so. Who is having maybe a good, maybe it's a Vince Young. You got somebody out there that right now is overplaying that might be too high on the board next year?
Well, I mean, let's take a look at, let's say we're going to buy position. I think the first guy for me that is probably a bit overrated is Brett Favre. I think if he comes back next year, I think he won't perform quite as well. He's really running on adrenaline right now, and you know, playing his first year in the black and blue division in the Norris has got him really stoked and really psyched. So I think he'll be high up on draft boards next year, probably top 6, top 7. Even in his heyday, he didn't rate that number. I'd be very careful with Brett Favre. On the other side of things, you guys that really came on big this year that might have been overlooked. Quarterback would be Ben Roethlisberger. I think Big Ben moves into the top 5 next year. I think he joins Rodgers, Breeze, Schaub, Manning, and Brady right there. And he could actually push one of those guys for a top spot. Running back, there's no question. Chris Johnson moves to the head of the class, Doug. But interestingly enough, let's keep our eye on Ray Rice, and let's not overlook Frank Gore. Frank Gore quietly finished 6th this year in fantasy points in rushing, and Gore missed 2 games. So he would have pretty much finished 4th behind Jones, Drew, Adrian Peterson, and Chris Johnson. Yet you'll be hard-pressed to find Gore, you know, 4th on any 2010 draft list. So let's keep an eye on stuff like that. The disappointments, of course, Brandon Jacobs is not even draftable. If he comes back next year, he's not even draftable. So you really want to kind of get that out of your mind. Steve Staton's another one who's lost a tremendous amount from the point of view of being a high draft pick. On your wideouts, Sidney Rice was just a great big surprise. And even if Favre swoons a little bit, Sidney Rice is still going to be a heck of a wide receiver next year. A few others that really stepped up this year that don't get as much credit as they deserve are Vincent Jackson with the San Diego Chargers, and Steve Smith with the New York Giants. Both of those guys. Percy Harvin also is going to move up precipitously. And when you really look at it, Doug, DeSean Jackson, Miles Austin actually finished ahead of Fitzgerald, Reggie Wayne, and Roddy White. So there's a lot to be said there. And also, let's keep an eye and see where Brandon Marshall ends up. On the downside, Lee Evans, guys like Lee Evans and Braylon Edwards, it's just absolutely precipitous fall from grace for Braylon Edwards. Terrell Owens is going to be somewhere else, but he's really moving backwards. T.J. Houshmandzadeh is another one who, unless he gets his head together, is going to be another guy that was pretty high on draft kicks that you'll probably be able to get in the fourth or fifth round next year, and that would be okay value as a wide receiver three.
This will kind of go into our email here a little bit, but I had Jamal Charles on a couple of my teams this year, and of course, when he finally did get to play, amazing. Yet, I still think even with Charlie Weiss taking over the O, even if that goes real well, it's hard to pick good guys, Steven Jackson, good guys on bad teams because you just don't know. But is anybody going to make a higher move than Jamal Charles? I mean, Chris Johnson was at least on the board this last couple of years.
Chris Johnson was number 8th ranked running back, and I agree with that. I think Jamal Charles moves into the first round, actually. And I don't think he moves into the top of the first round, although you will have people reach for him based on the way he finished the season. But I agree with you. Steven Jackson's an absolute first rounder. But because they play on such awful teams, you really don't want to spend the top 3 or top 4 pick on one of those guys. You want to go with Johnson, Peterson, Jones, Drew, and even Frank Gore in advance of those guys we just mentioned. Another guy who was sleepy, quiet, who you'll be able to get in the second round or even third round next year is Joseph Addai. The guy finished in the top 10 in running backs ahead of Jackson. By the way, Steven Jackson was probably the best back in football outside of Chris Johnson last year. Just with St. Louis, never had the opportunity to find the end zone with any consistency. And if he would have even a reasonable amount of touchdowns in the running game, I think he finished the year with 4 rushing touchdowns and yet finished in the top 10 in fantasy scoring. So, can't think that one through.
Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. One of our favorite emailers for this segment has been Mark in Minden. This is a tough one, I think, and you've touched on it a little bit. I got to wonder, usually in these keeper leagues, you usually keep 3-4 guys, but I don't know if that's the case. Mark says, in a keeper league, standard scoring, does he keep Aaron Rodgers or Steven Jackson?
That is an absolutely challenging question. I would keep Aaron Rodgers. I think this was his second full year. He's already the number one quarterback in fantasy football. Steven Jackson is an absolute stud. But I think that Rodgers has this incredible 4 to 6 year run ahead of him, where he will be Peyton Manning-esque from the point of view of fantasy scoring, and you simply can't pass on that. Every year you get the Jamal Charles's, you get a couple of running backs, D'Angelo Williams last year, you get a couple of running backs every year that just surge to the top. Ray Rice, another classic example, where in quarterbacks it's been pretty static with Brady, Manning, Breeze, those guys at the top. Aaron Rodgers now king of the hill. Mark, tough call, but stick with Rodgers and enjoy the ride for 4 to 6 years.
All right, Joe, we'll let you have the last word as we wrap up this first season with FantasyPlayersEdge.com. And may I say, it's been a lot of fun working with you, and hopefully we can continue to do that. But as we go into the playoffs now and as we go into the off season, what's the most important thing as you start to put away the books and maybe hibernate on the website here for a month or two?
Yeah, well, I mean, now, Doug, I get a little downtime here so I can start really taking a look at Hot Stove and get ready for the upcoming fantasy baseball season. I can't be, more excited. Website is still running right through the remaining 4 weeks of the National Football League season. for those folks who play playoff fantasy football, either on NFL.com or Sporting News or CBS Sports, or any of those, ESPN. So I want to make sure I'm still providing valuable information for the remainder of the season. And right now, I'm just putting the finishing touches on the preliminary rankings for the 2010 fantasy baseball season. And just to wet your whistle, of course, Albert Pujols is ranking right at the top of the class. That'd be crazy not to. But I still have Hanley second, Ryan Braun third, Ryan Howard fourth, Prince Fielder fifth. So we're starting to put that together, and it's been just a joy, working with you and Daddy, and hopefully we'll get back together mid February and get the hot stove heated up and get ready for some fantasy baseball.
Hey, it sounds great, Joe. We look forward to talking to you here in a couple of months, and enjoy. We'll keep everybody abreast of the website. Take care.
Thank you. Take good care.
Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. He keeps us up to date all the time. Tonight, the national championship game. It's been said that one must root for their conference foes, Dan in Roseland says. I've always been in complete disagreement with this ridiculous statement. There's no rhyme or reason that it's a must to root for one's respective conference. However, that changes tonight and tonight only. Yes, I will painfully root for the Longhorns. Why? Well, I have to take a second off the clock and remember what is best for the Big Red. A Texas win over Bama will enhance the Huskers' proclaimed return to dominance. With a win and hopefully a blowout, it confirms the words from Bo. Nebraska's back and we're here to stay. And a Longhorn will theoretically tell the SEC to shove it. No one wants to see the SEC win an unprecedented four straight national championship. Hope I don't throw up after saying this, but go Longhorns. That's right. Thanks, Dan. You're right. Here's the prediction. Texas wins tonight and claims the national championship. Just as well end the season perfect. I have been all year, right?
Pretty close.
I will take Texas to win the ball game tonight. If you need a score, let's go with 23-17. Texas is the winner. Let's just wrap it up with that. Get out of here. You've been listening to the Doug and Daddy Show. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Thanks for being with us today. Jason Boyd, the head girls basketball coach at Kearney High. Also to Sean Kelly, head wrestling coach at Hastings College. Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. And Todd Henricks from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Tomorrow, we may have a couple of special guests, but we anticipate the return of Big Daddy here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Plus, we award our Lazy Boy recliners to Justin or Wes from Bruce Furniture. Enjoy the national title game tonight right here on ESPN Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.